Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Actor, comedian, and director Marlon Wayans has a new movie out on Netflix called Sextuplets. He stopped by the KMOX studios recently to promote it. Then my conversation with a bar owner in St. Anne who decides to serve up more than wine and food by bringing in licensed therapists for an event he's calling Let's Talk. That's all tonight on KMOX Profiles.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
What's up, baby girl?
It's all good. Thanks for coming out.
Oh, you're although, welcome.
You know,
I like hand delivering things. Only when I would believe it on.
Only when
I believe it. I ain't doing.
You
no
ain't
tour.
Doing it. You ain't doing it.
I ain't doing no tour.
All
y'all
right.
Y'all know this movie bad. Don't send me out here with your bad movie.
It's okay, Marlon.
No, this one's a good one.
Let me get a picture of you leaning with them glasses on. All right. Let me start with. You smell like belly button. Among my favorite lines from Marlon Wayans' latest laugh out loud comedy. It's called Sextuplets. My brother-in-law, who is visiting from St. Croix, has watched it twice already.
My guy.
On Netflix.
I love it.
Yeah. So you play a husband. You're about to have your first child. Yeah. You're adopted. You don't know your family medical history. You think you're an only child. And then yes, there's a road trip to find your birth mother, but you find siblings and craziness instead.
Find out that I'm one of six sextuplets.
Yes.
And I play every last single sextuplet and the mom.
So.
Yes.
And the mom. That's right. Yeah. And the mom. How did you decide on the characters of your siblings? Because it could have been a trucker. Could have been anything.
It was written a certain way by Mike Locke, and then Rick Alvarez, my producer and I, partner and I, and my writing partner, we went and changed it to tailor make it to certain characters we wanted to do. So we kept like Baby Pete being sick, but the actual character of who he was, we had to create, you know.
Mm-hmm, and you did.
Yeah, Russell. I had to create Russell. Some started with like a look, others started with a voice. Russell started with a voice. So I wanted to do this character because I had a roommate named Steve who stayed at my house, and he stayed for so long and he never paid any bills. So I finally coerced him to get the hell out of my house. And the only thing he left behind was this voice that I could make some money off of because he left me in debt. So, and then Jasper, I always wanted to do a villain, but I thought it'd be funny. What if he's the black sheep in the family? Was really light-skinned, because I have this really, really light-skinned cousin, LeVan, and he is bad as hell. So I thought it'd be funny to make Jasper, and I want him to sound like Obama, very hyper-intelligent. But, you know, but so everything, I don't know, it just, inspiration, God gives you inspiration. I don't know how I made those choices, but I just made them, and I
tried to do the stripper/exotic dancer moves last night at dinner with friends.
Girl,
you got
to be trained in the arts of dance in order to pull that off. Okay, it's not for everybody. It's not for beginners. It's not about twerking. Dance is more than just twerking.
Because it's slamming of the
table.
It's
a rhythm.
It's
plié, relevé.
Plié, relevé, on face. That was it. I couldn't remember the middle line.
Plié, relevé, but on face.
Yes. Okay. Plié, relevé, but on face. Got
Sashé.
It. Sashé. Because I'm trying to keep
face.
My marriage fresh. Plié, relevé.
That will definitely do it.
You said that this took everything. Everything.
I died. I felt like the end of a Looney Tunes cartoon, when Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck were competing for who had the best ending or the best show, and Daffy Duck was like, "I'll show you," and he went and he drank gasoline and hot sauce and firecrackers, and then he lit himself on fire, pow, And it was a huge explosion, and he's just going up to heaven. And Bugs go, "You finally did it, Daffy." And Daffy said, "Yeah, but I can only do this once." I can only do this once. It was a hard movie. Hard movie. I mean, no sleep.
And do you have a favorite?
I love them all. It's like the characters are like children, you know. It's like my favorite would probably be, and this is kind of lazy of me, I like the guy that didn't require the most makeup. I like Alan and Ethan, because what I like about Ethan is him and Alan are identical twins. Like, they look exactly alike, but even in the same costumes, you could tell Ethan's Ethan, you know, by way he look and way, you know, besides the tooth, it's just he got a certain lean and a certain thing he do with his hand, a certain twang. And I thought that was good acting, that somebody that looks exactly like somebody, but you could tell they're
totally different,
different
character,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he real.
I feel like I'm watching like some, it again.
His wife is sitting there going, "Something is off
about you."
Yeah. Like, you look like Alan, but you're not Alan.
Another great line. You never use tongue.
Oh, yeah. I'm changing the game.
Talk to me about Netflix, though. This is not your first partnership with them. Yeah. They've changed the game.
Yeah. You know, what's great about Netflix is that in over 200 million homes, and they have, you know, in over 200 countries. So when I drop a movie, it's worldwide. I don't have to worry about the studio opening up, like, and putting in certain theaters and hoping that people know what that is. It's like, once it's on the platform, if you hit their algorithm, you like Marlon Wayans movies, you're going to see that trailer and you're going to want to, you know, watch the movie. And you can watch it anywhere. Like, I tell people, watch it at work. You know,
you ain't working at your desk,
turn off the Pornhub and watch up Netflix.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Couple of quick topics.
Go.
Do you have a reaction to Jay-Z and his NFL partnership?
I don't know enough about it for me to really speak on it. All I can say about Jay-Z and the NFL partnership is, for as much as we've all listened to Jay-Z over the past 30 some odd years, he's always been somebody that has always been attached to the community and trying to better us as a people. Some of the things that he's done, people that he's bailed out of jail, part of the movement and part of, you know, he's done a lot when it comes to social just justice. So I gotta, no matter what it is, I have to trust that he has our best interests at heart. And I think we should, instead of leaving things broken, at some point we have to move toward fixing them. You can't talk about a problem and just talk about a problem, because the solution is the difference between men and women, right? When we argue, women sometimes want to talk about the problem. And men are like, "No, I get it. I don't want to talk about the problem for 3 hours. What's the solution? We could solve that in like 5 minutes. So let's be solution orientated." And I think that's what he's trying to do. I don't think he's trying to discount what Kaepernick has done, but I don't think he's trying to go, "All right, either Kaepernick get a job or we ain't." He's like, that issue is not the issue. He brought relevance to social justice. He did an amazing thing because he brought attention to this. Now, I don't know what Jay-Z's plan is, but I hope that he's going to take the ball and take it a step further. And that, for me, but that takes time. I'm not going to judge either way it goes. I'm not somebody that believes in publicly hanging people. I don't believe.
So this whole sellout thing.
I don't, because people talk without knowing the details. Yeah. Let's find out the details, and then we can figure out whether this is selling out or not. Because maybe he's not. It's not selling out. Maybe it's, you know, it's taking it to another level, but we have to understand, and hopefully we have to look at Jay-Z's track record. The man has done nothing but do wonderful things for his community without taking credit. If you go through his bank account and you see withdrawal, you know, bailing this person out, bailing that person out, he's done a lot.
Which most people don't even know about.
But he don't, because he will brag about it. Yeah. Now, at a point, you know, we as a community have to figure out what those things are. And instead of cooking the man, what are you doing to help out?
Right.
So let's all get on board and help this out, because it's something that needs to get fixed, because there's a lot of young black men dying in the streets because of what's going on. And to me, there needs to be a complete reform when it comes to cops and you know, civilians, period. And civilians, at the same time, we got to do better. We don't need to sit there and argue with a man with a gun in his hand. What do you want? Let's fix it. But, hey, it'd be nice if you didn't pull the gun on me. But at the same time, when he has the gun on you, do me a favor. Shut up. Until it's over, videotape. But don't, I got you. Just quietly videotape and watch it. Because what happens is sometimes you don't throw gasoline on fires. The best way to do it, and that's what I mean by we all need to get on the same page. I don't want any of my people dying in the streets for no reason. Period. And cops need to respect civilians, and civilians need to respect cops. There's a reason why there's law enforcement. Cops are your enemies until you need to call them for something. That's a hard job to do. I have a friend who's a chief of police. He's a black man in New York City. It's a tough job. It's a tough job, you know, and until we need better cops. And we also need some real laws. I've been on calls with Obama's team. This is before the whole, during the whole Mike Brown incident. Like, I'm on the phone with these people. Nobody has a solution. Everybody want to talk about the problem, but nobody is given a solution. So what's the solution? At this point, that's what we all need to be concerned about. We don't need to be concerned about how do we break another brother down and how do we publicly fry and hang somebody based on a public opinion that is popular. I don't believe in this culture. I just don't. I believe as individuals in America, we have the right to, as individuals, to have an opinion. And to have discussions about how do we, even though we're on two different sides of the fence, how do we come together at the fence and listen to each other and solve a problem? Because this new culture that we're on, I don't like it. That's not America to me.
All right, let's wrap it up and go full circle.
Well, you
back.
Can't ask me a deep question, baby girl.
I sure did, and but
expect,
I knew.
Expect
I knew.
Me not to come at it.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, man.
Just, I appreciate that.
I love it.
I just want to say happy belated birthday
I'm
to you.
I'm old as hell. Thank you very much.
I was going to say, you're about to turn, you inching closer to 50.
Yeah.
So which of the sextupless characters would...
None of them, because they're all 30-something.
Give you...
and they're all 30-something. You know what's funny? It's like, I feel 19 still. It's
really?
Crazy. In my head, in my heart, I'm forever 19. And I think you are as old as you allow yourself to feel. And I won't allow myself to feel, but you look young as hell. I'm not even cleansing. And when I go in and I eat right and everything, I swear I can age backwards 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But when I'm drinking, you know, that tequila, that's going to fortify the progression.
There
but
is.
I'm forever, I live with a child's heart, man.
All right. It is so good to have you back in St. Louis.
What do you think of the Jay-Z thing?
I think that we need to stop calling people sellouts and ask more questions before we answer. I'm all for partnerships.
Yes.
And if a man like him, who is a powerful voice, can bring the NFL to the table. They were talking about this for, what, 6, 7, 8 months or something like that.
And if I'm Jay, not only do what I do is I find a way to take Kaepernick and bring him on to the team.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to be the soul behind it. You need behind the business of it. Now let's put together the proper team. Maybe you can't play football, but you can be a part of this team to help this cause that meant so much to you.
And maybe I can't change the hearts of certain people, but you've got deep pockets. Write me the check.
Absolutely.
And let me use the check how I see fit.
Absolutely.
So we could do it that way.
And you know what this crazy thing is? You know, I think the NFL made a mistake by telling people they can't, as individuals, that we can't have our own protests about things that's important to us as a people. They made it an issue about the NFL when this wasn't the NFL's issue.
No.
This was an issue with, you know, civilians,
society, right,
and law enforcement, and it bled into the red bled in into the white, and now it's pink, and it's all a mess. But this is an issue that we need to resolve. We need to go to Washington. We need Congress on board. We need Supreme Court. We need to get all the different legislative branches together, and we need to figure something out because this has to stop.
We should all care about reducing violence wherever it is.
Yeah, whether it's black, white, you know, Hispanic. I care about people, man. This is not right, period.
19 in his heart.
Yes.
You've got to watch
But I got old list. Thoughts, as you see. Because a 19-year-old don't give a hell about nobody.
It is so good to see you again.
You too, beautiful.
The movie is Laugh Out Loud.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
What's next, by the way?
I got a new half-hour series I'm developing, single cam, for myself to star in. It's close to home, but it's going to be really funny. But at the same time, it has some gravity to it, some good stories. It's just about it's like my Louis or my Curb. So that's what I'm developing right now. And I'm also got like 6 movies I'm developing. And I'm working on my next special. I'm not sure if I've played St. Louis. I probably recently was here. I don't know. But I'm doing a lot of stand-up, so I'm working toward my next special. I know my next two or three are going to be, but I'm just on the road
busy.
Doing stand-up, so look
busy,
for me.
Busy.
I'm trying
Thank
to be somebody.
Thank you so much, Marlon.
Thank you.
My thanks to actor and comedian Marlon Wayans. Next on KMOX Profiles, a bar owner in St. Anne who decides to serve up more than beer and food by bringing in licensed therapists for an event he's calling Let's Talk. That's next on KMOX Profiles.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX Profiles. I'm Carol Daniel. Recently, I met a young bar owner in St. Anne who says he wants to convince his patrons that it's okay to seek therapy. Cedric Powell, owner of Barcode and Grill, on his decision to bring in licensed therapists for an event he's calling Let's Talk.
Talking about Let's Talk and why you wanted to have this event here at the bar.
It was to help us know that we can see therapists and seek help. So many people come in here, talk about their problems over a drink and over something to eat, but you can see those problems weighing them down. So I'll let them know real quick, I'm not able to help you. I can point you in the right direction. I can see if somebody can talk to you, but what you're putting on me and what you're holding is not anything that either of us can deal with. So why not talk to somebody?
First of all, how long have you owned this?
2.5 years.
So in all that time that this has been happening, that people are coming to you and sharing, has that always been happening or is it recent?
It's always been happening. It's since the first day I started. So
do you think it's something about you or is it something about Barcode or why?
Something about Barcode. Barcode is a family. We are, any given day you can walk in and see him sitting at the front door all of a sudden being security because my security didn't come that night. Or you'll see one of the customers picking up the glasses and wiping off the table because the waitress is behind. So if you come here, you'll automatically know that you're welcome and that we really do care about you.
And the demographic, meaning where people are coming from, to who come to Barcode, all over the region or?
I would say within 20 minutes. We do have a lot of people that come from Belleville, though. We do have people come from Belleville. Some people I went to college with, they come over here. But for the most part, O'Fallon, Missouri. I forgot you do live out way out yonder. So.
And what was it? What moment was it? Or what story was it? Or what person was it? What customer that did something in your mind, in your heart, that made you think, okay, enough? I need to take this to another level.
I mean, from the number of the kids being killed in the city, you know that has to weigh on people. We were talking about it earlier, and Candace did something on STL News where she was talking about it has to weigh on you. Like, there's no way that you can live in the St. Louis area and watch. We're at 21 kids now, if you include St. Louis as well as East St. Louis. 21 kids dying from violence, and it not affect you. It is actually impossible, she said. So from that and talking to the customers, it's necessary. So it's just like, let's just talk. Let's keep it simple. Talk about anything you want to talk about. It could be you, it could be somebody else, or it could be just what's going on in the city.
And is it your hope that, tell me what your hope is.
My hope is everybody that comes away from this comes away, they leave knowing that they can talk to a therapist. They leave knowing that they can talk to a counselor. They leave knowing that they're not the only ones going through something. Because when you see people like you doing what they do, knowing that they can help you, Nothing is wrong with going to therapy. Nothing is wrong with getting help. You'll go to the doctor, you get all these medications, you'll take anything the doctor give you for your blood pressure. You'll come here, you get something to drink, you'll get something to eat, you'll fill up your stomach, you'll fill up your liver, but you won't help your mind.
And your soul.
And your soul.
Is that why you opened a bar in the first place? Because you said it was like, it's like the Cheers.
It's like the Cheers, yeah. Everybody does. We had new customers last night and they left feeling like, we'll be back. They came for what we call it. It's Taco Tuesday. So it's a busy night. Everybody comes in and it's just, you feel the family when you're in here. Even if I'm not here, the regulars are here and they're handling things as if I was here.
What is your background and how old are you?
35. I came from Anheuser-Busch. I was there with Amy for 12 years and I knew I wanted to do something. I knew when I started there, I wasn't gonna stay. The older guys would tell me, man, you only got 30 years left. And I would just let them know. I told them, I said, if it's God's will, I won't be here much longer. So I planned and I waited and I actually bought this from his cousin. He wanted to get out of the business and it just came at the right time. He had been approached by a lot of people to buy it, he told me, and he picked me to buy it. So I appreciate that.
Wow. So again, it is you.
And it couldn't have been the money because he gave me a great deal. So that couldn't have been it.
And so what you're saying is that as one of the things you're implying, saying clearly, is that Black people do not see therapy as a viable, normal thing that we do. We don't do that.
We don't do that.
Right.
We take it. You go to the church, you pray about it. But they always say prayer without work is dead. So the work is going to the therapist. There's nothing wrong with praying about it, but why not go to the therapist as well? You can pray that the cancer is healed, but if you don't go to the doctor, what's the point?
What are the most prevalent kinds of concerns that you hear, or does it just run the gamut?
It's all over the place. It's from my finances. It's from losing a parent. Losing a parent is big. That's something I haven't had that yet. But losing a parent is something that I don't know how long it takes to, but I'm the customers that are coming, it's been years. And every year they're having another funeral in their head. So how do you stop them from having a funeral every time the death of their parent comes up? I can't help you with that. Someone lost their mom 20 years ago. They still have, but you've never talked about it. You've never talked to anyone about it. Some people are better at coping with things than others. So if you knew you weren't able to cope with it, or maybe you don't even know that you might think that you're coping, but every year on that anniversary, I can tell when it's that anniversary. I can see it in your face when you walk in.
I was gonna say, how can you tell? Yeah, you can see it on their
so
face.
So you're, today we're gonna wear this color because someone passed away years ago. Doing that over and over and over again, it's weighing on you. Let's talk is just something I have no idea what they're gonna do, but I tell them do what they do. They ask, well, what do you want us? I don't know. That's up to y'all. I know my, let me stay back here and mix some beverages. Let me fry some chicken. I'll listen if you want me to. I'll step in when you need me to, but I prefer the professionals do that part. We're gonna have, as of right now, we're at about 5 or 6 therapists. We should have 10 by that day.
Will you do it again?
I don't see why not. I hope it outgrows here.
Why a Sunday? We talked about that. You did Sunday on purpose, right?
I did Sunday on purpose. The weekend's over with. You've had all the fun. You would normally go, folks that go to church, you would normally go to church on Sunday morning. I'm hoping they would skip that day. I'm doing it early enough that you don't come in and you go straight to the bar. We're not open for business that day. We're open for them. So we will sell you alcohol at some point, but you can't buy it when you first get here. You come in, you eat this free breakfast I'm gonna cook you, you talk about what's going on, and then at some point we'll open it up that you can enjoy the libations of the bar. But we're not here for business that day.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
More now on my conversation that took place on the road at Barcode and Grill on St. Charles Walk Road in St. Anne. Licensed therapist Candace Cox explains what she expects out of the Let's Talk event at the bar.
Our business is KHAOS. K-H-A-O-S. It stands for Keep Healing and Overcoming Struggles.
Well, now. Did you create that right here? Right here?
Actually, I created it in 2009 and brought it to St. Louis in 2012.
Okay. Why do you like coming here?
Well, I've been here once with Amy, and just like he said, it is a home. Like, the first time I came, he wasn't even here yet, but it was just like you come in, and it's just like, okay, and you're talking to people, and everybody's friendly. We met two or three different people just talking to them and just having conversations, and like he said, people sit here, and they just start pouring themselves out, and they didn't even know that they were talking to two therapists.
Why is it that people, the hairdresser, the bartender, the barber, the people that generally, that's kind of who we in the African-American community probably talk to, mm-hmm. your partners, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why are we spilling our guts to a stranger serving us some Remy?
Well, I think it's a whole lot easier for me to spill my guts to a stranger than it is for me to spill my guts to somebody that I feel is going to judge me, or I feel is going to take my story and do something else with it. But if I'm in a barbershop, or if I'm at the bar, or, you know, something of that nature, then I'm going to say it, I'm going to leave it, and we're drinking and having a good time, so you might not even remember it next time I come. So I'll be okay to leave my story with you.
But how much of that is it's okay? I mean, it's okay to talk to people, but how much of it is you get stuck because you're not?
It's okay to talk, but sometimes you can talk, but you can't just talk about it without having solutions. And so usually what people end up doing is kind of recreating the story. They kind of keep reliving the story over and over again because they keep on telling it, you know, instead of having solutions on how can I actually process through this situation opposed to just talking about it.
Why did you become a therapist?
I am what I want to be when I grow up. Actually, I am a child that I'm born to teen parents, and I grew up on the south side of St. Louis. And I'm what I call a chaos kid. I say regular chaos is when you can't help acting out severely, C-H-A-O-S. And so I had those moments in my life. And for me to be able to change the trajectory of my life, I had to learn how to keep healing and overcoming struggles. And so I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. So I want to spend my life helping other people help themselves become the best version of themselves.
So we are here focusing on Black people who don't like to go to therapy or mm-hmm. to therapists. That's probably, generally speaking, all Americans have an attitude about, I don't need help, man up, you know, girl, big panties, mm-hmm. you know, we all have that. Mm-hmm. So why do we have that, and how do we overcome that?
Well, I feel in our community, we've always been told, and I mean, if just being honest, if we take it all the way back, we've always been told to shut your mouth and do what you've been told. And so, you know, we've kind of embedded that. And then with having to worry about where people took our stories, we learned what happens in your house stays in your house. Or we learned just go pray about it, go talk to God about it. And so I say it's absolutely okay for you to pray about it, but when God sends you a therapist, go see him. Like, that's just being honest, you know. And so we have to get out of that mentality that other people can't help us, because if what happens in our homes stays in our homes and the people in our homes don't know how to help us, it's just going to continue to be generational trauma, which is what we're dealing with now. You know, so the way that I look at it, and like I just said something about this, say for instance you have a young lady who was abused when she was a child, and so she didn't developmentally become who she was supposed to be. And then she met a young guy who went through abandonment from his father. He grew up abused as well. And then they have a child. So you have two broken parents raising a baby that they're going to break. Not because I did it on purpose, but I can only give you what I have to give. And then they send that baby to a school where the educators are burned out and broken. And then those educators continue to break those babies. And then that school sits in a community where the people surrounding it are broken. And then we have officers that are broken, and they're policing this broken community. So everybody's broken, and everybody usually turns around, and the first thing they do is they blame the kids, and then they blame the parents. But if broken babies are raised by broken parents, where are they supposed to heal if nobody is actually helping them heal?
So for the, you know, sort of outside looking in, mm-hmm. you know, you don't live in St. Louis, I don't live in St. Louis, mm-hmm. but when I go to Houston, I'm from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So it's our city. Mm-hmm. So someone said to me yesterday, we are all suffering from PTSD. Yeah. Marty Casey told me that. Mm-hmm. We are all suffering from PTSD. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that?
Yes.
And help us.
Well, I mean, you know, I believe that trauma is embedded in our DNA. And I say that there is no reason that there's no way that we can live in the United States of America and not be affected by trauma. But then, you know, trauma hasn't changed our makeup in regard to the coding of our DNA, but something called epigenetics is what changes the chemicals of our DNA. And so if you think about it, we have all been affected in some way. It's no way that we can see all of these murders and be okay. It's no way that we can look at what's happening at the border and be okay. There's no way we can look at all of the discrimination that has happened and be okay. Women just stopped fighting for our rights to be equal, what, 40 years ago? Like, you know, so it's not like we can be okay, whether you are a woman or a man, black, white, purple, green, or orange, you've been affected in some way, form, or fashion. What we have to do now is stop looking like, okay, I'm better than this person because I made it out of this situation, or I never had to deal with this situation, and recognize that nobody has a right to judge because we all struggle. And maybe if we start opening up and start talking about the things that we're dealing with, we can understand that from the White House all the way to the crack house, we are all dealing with something.
I'm glad there's a back on this chair. That's pretty remarkable. What do you expect? It's hard to know what to expect during Let's Talk on Sunday, on that Sunday. But what do you hope for?
Honestly, I believe everything happens as it should. And so I believe that people are going to come in here and people are going to be in a safe place, and they are going to create an environment where we will be able to heal and grow together.
That was simple. But it's deep. How do you gear up for something? This is the non-traditional environment if ever there was one. I mean, I guess it's not, but you know, in a way it is for therapy to occur.
I believe that, I say that mental wellness is dope. And so dope is done on purpose every day, which means that it doesn't matter if I'm sitting in the office. It doesn't matter if I'm sitting in my car or if we're sitting at the bar. If somebody needs to heal and I got the tools, let's go.
And so have you been, he said you've been sitting here and they don't know you're a therapist, but they just started, that's happened for you?
Mm-hmm. When we were here, the first time I came here, it happened. We had two guys that were talking, and next thing you know, we had a friend sit down and he started talking about what was happening in his marriage. Like, it just happened. And we just, we're listening and we're processing, but we're asking questions. I mean, we're taught to do that. You know, we ask certain questions to just get you to start thinking a different way. We're not the experts. You are. You know more about yourself than we will ever know about you. But what we as clinicians do, we help you help yourself become the best version of yourself. We help pull things out of you or plant seeds inside of you to help you become who you are destined to be.
He said that the number one issue is losing parents. Mm-hmm. And so these are all, it's 30 and over. So these are super grown people coming in here who are still dealing with the loss of a parent. Why is that so?
Well, people grieve, and you can't put a time limit on grief, but a lot of times people get stuck in the depression of grief. You know, we have five different cycles, you know, when you go through when you're grieving. And a lot of times people get stuck in the bargaining, and they get stuck in the sadness, and they get stuck in the anger. And so they go back and forth between all of those different things, or they're stuck in denial. And so, you know, they kind of keep re-traumatizing themselves when certain things happen, and they don't learn how to create a new normal. You never get used to somebody being gone, but you have to create a new normal. You can't go back to the way things were. And oftentimes that's what people in general, they try to go back. And once it's over, it's over. You have to move forward and create a new normal.
I want to ask you one more question. And Beth, I want you to weigh in if you have anything.
Okay.
But regarding the children that have died and this season that this region is in, why is that so? I mean, it's children. Mm-hmm. It's children. These are babies. Mm-hmm. And they're innocent. And I wonder if there's some part of all of us that we're trying to, maybe there's a little denial about it, I think, to try to survive it. Or blame may help some people survive it, because it's not about me then, if I can... You know, I don't know, but this is a remarkably sad, tragic time that we are in, unlike almost any other. I mean, for me, it's almost worse. It's worse than Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. I think that people are desensitized. And I think that, you know, when people are traumatized, they either fight, flight, or freeze. And so you have people that are fighting. You have people that are fleeing. And then you have people that are frozen and just kind of stuck. And a lot of people are like, well, it's not me. I don't live there. It's not my kid. So I, you know, it's not anybody that I know, and so they turn a blind eye to it. But as the number continues to grow, that's when the fear starts setting in, and it's like, oh, it could be my kid, it could be somebody close to me, and now we're getting the outrage. But I needed to stop being fake outrage, and I needed to be real outrage that comes with solutions, like what Sid is doing. Let's talk about it. Let's do something different. We can't keep saying we're mad and not do anything about it. Now we have to put something into action.
Is it an overstatement that lives will be changed that Sunday?
I believe they will. I believe that seeds are going to be planted, that seeds are going to be planted on Sunday, where people are going to be able to take that and they're going to be able to plant seeds into others and continue to nurture and grow. I believe that's going to happen.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.